We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, notice, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. It's such a familiar song, and it's such a familiar story. How many of our own noble magi have not strutted across our stages over the years? It's so familiar, perhaps, this story. And maybe we lose sight of its intrigue, its mystery, its enigmas, its questions. Who exactly were these magi? These astrologers who divined holy stories and messages from the skies? And where did they call home? And when exactly did they come to Bethlehem, to the house, notice, that Matthew talks about? And then there's the question of the star. What was it exactly? Was it a comet, like the one just now bearing down on us in our skies? Was it a supernova? Was it a planetary alignment, as some people think? And for that matter, how exactly does a star in the heavens direct them to a place specifically on Earth? How does that happen? Well, these are fascinating mysteries, I think. And entire books have been written about them, like this one by Dwight Longenecker. But maybe these mysteries overlook a more fundamental question. Really, the question that may be most pertinent here is, why did they follow? Why did these magi even notice? What prompted them to see the star in the first place? The most crucial thing in the story, I think, is not what is happening in the heavens, but what is happening in the human hearts. And that's why we pay attention to these stories. That's why we heed these stories, because then we see ourselves enacted in them. We become part of the story. Their mysteries are our mysteries. Their hopes are the hopes we long for, and their truth is the truth we so desperately crave. We are the Magi. And maybe this season, if we're perceptive, if we're paying attention, maybe this year, we too will glimpse that star of wonder. It's Advent. It's a time of expectation, a time of anticipation. And we await in this season an event that is almost inconceivable, nigh on blasphemous, if you think about it. Almost unbelievable. What we await is the coming of Emmanuel, of God coming among us, of God himself arriving here in human form. So in that way, Advent very much is forward-looking, anticipatory. It's not just remembering something historical that happened way back ages ago. see if God, as Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. Can he be born among us now as well? If God arrived in a manger then, really there's no telling how and when he may arrive among us today. As Rachel Evans put it, Jesus didn't just come to die. He came to live. He came to live through us, to be alive within us, to inject God's very presence among us in our communities into the kingdom of God that is now at hand, as Jesus says a number of times. So that brings us to the meaning of the incarnation, that ultimate expression of the love that we heard about already a number of times. The ultimate manifestation of this love divine that is almost unfathomable. The expression of love by God himself, humbling himself to live as one of us, to accept our limitations, to accept our difficulties, our pain, our frailty, our sorrows. And it happened. We dare to hope. It happened, we dare to hope, not just long ago, but in our time, in our places, in our lives, even now. We dare to hope that. And now I'll ask you bluntly. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God became one of us back then in Bethlehem? Do you believe that God was born in Bethlehem? And more profoundly, that God may be born among us even here, even now, even in Coaldale. Do you believe that? And when I say, do you believe, I don't mean in some detached, superficial, abstract, academic way where you flick some mental switch to an on position in hopes of securing some future glory. No. I mean, do you believe in an immersive, transformative way, in a way that is motive overturning and priority reordering and schedule rearranging? Do you believe? I'll admit to you, frankly, that believing in this way does not come easily to me. I have trouble believing some days. I have trouble believing some days that God was born among us. Trouble believing that he is being born among us and that he is moving among us even now. I look around and I don't always see his hand in the CNN news. But I don't always feel his touch on my shoulder in my perplexity. I don't always hear his footsteps padding assuredly beside me. I'm a lot like Thomas. Unless I see, he says, I will not believe. I'm a lot like that father who comes to Jesus, desperately seeking help for his epileptic son. And Jesus says, all things are possible for one who believes. Then this father, in agony and anguish and desperate hopefulness, cries out, I believe. Oh, help thou my unbelief. That's me. I often find it hard to believe in Emmanuel, in God among us. And I suspect I'm not alone. I suspect I'm not alone in that. I see young adults drifting away from the convictions of their childhood. And even among those of us now wrinkling and graying, I wonder how many of us, if we're honest, if we were to tell it as it is, in dark of night, in secret, we desperately pray and cry out to God, I believe, but oh, help me in my unbelief. How many of us are in that place? And all the pulpit pounding in the world isn't going to persuade anyone. And heroic force of willpower alone will never suffice. Because I think believing is a gift. So we wait, expectantly, eagerly, inquisitively, which brings us back to this season, the season of Advent, the season of waiting. And it brings us back to our siblings, the Magi. Brings us back to the Magi of whom we are one. Because we, just like them, if we look there above the treetops in the darkness, we really look, we too may see the tantalizing hints, the signs of something coming, of something moving. We, like them, now and then in our searching, we may see the flickering light. We may see the star of wonder. And the star may appear to us in the darkness in many different ways. Maybe it comes to us as an unrelenting wistfulness, an unrequited longing, a restless yearning. Whereas a sense of being on a threshold of a deep and powerful answer that we cannot quite name, like a name that's on the tip of our tongue and we can't quite enunciate it. For the star may come to us as a hopeful memory that leaps into our minds in a telephone conversation. Or as a flaming, unexpected joy that comes to us uninvited through a kindness that we have offered. Watch for the star. Pay attention. Pay attention for this inkling of something new coming, of a new life unfolding, of hope. Springing forward, this harbinger of all you long for, leading you to believing the incredible story, the story that's almost unbelievable, of a Savior being born among us. This time of year, in our conversations, we often hear the question, are you going home for Christmas? Are you going home for Christmas? Home is where all of us so much long to be. And home, says Buchner, is where Christ is. Home is the midst of his kingdom. Home is the place, that manger, which the star of wonder leads us to. So maybe today we can learn from the Magi. First of all, to be watchful. Keep your eyes open for the glinting, the glimmering of the star. Pay attention to your longings. Heed your longings, those murmurings, those yearnings that are propelling you forward, reaching for something that you sense is coming. Look for that star, glinting, flickering, even in your sadness, in your loneliness, especially in your hopes unfulfilled. And when believing is hard, when home seems so far away, remember, it is the ones who are lost, the ones who are in darkness, who are often the first to see the star. Learn from the Magi and be ready to follow. Be attentive. Be attentive. And when you glimpse the star, get on your camel and ride. Follow, explore, seek, search, follow the star. By that I mean live as Jesus teaches us. And you may find him walking beside you. Live as if God is among us, and you may see signs of his kingdom germinating, flourishing already. Live as if the good news is true, and you may find yourself fully persuaded. Live in hopeful faithfulness. And amazingly, you may find yourself in sight of the main. And don't wait until you see that star clearly. Don't worry if it's dim. And don't worry if you lose your way, because we all do. And in fact, the Magi did. They had to stop and ask. Almost got caught in Herod's trap. But they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them again. It will come again. It will guide us. Learn from the Magi. Be ready to follow. They noticed yonder star and traversed afar, searching, seeking, exploring. And finally, learn from the Magi by being ready always to worship. Be ready to worship even when you're still on the way, even before you get you to your destination. Following, of course, is already the beginning of worship, implying trust and hope. But there is more, and that is simply to adore, which is another way of saying our hearts, speaking out their longings. Oh, come, let us adore him. We sang again today. And it reminds us again, and it's been said a few times in the service already, the question. Have you noticed how music becomes even more meaningful in Advent? Have you noticed that? Why is that? I think it's because music expresses our worshipful yearning far more eloquently than any mere words alone will ever achieve. Richard Holloway writes, "If like me, you cannot halt the search for meaning. Find a place where they don't talk, they sing. Slip into some choral evensong to experience the music and touch the longing it carries for the human soul." Buchner writes about a certain Dr. X who thinks the whole business of religion is for the birds, and yet there he is, singing the Kyrie like a bird himself. "Lord, have mercy," as he stands there among the baritones in his wilted shirt and skimpy tux. And his workaday basset hound face is so alive with, it seems, the God he wouldn't be caught dead believing in, that for a moment nothing in the whole world matters less than what he believes or doesn't believe. The heart leaps, and the eyes fill, Music, I think, is a soul calling for its creator. It's the soul searching for home. And for me at least, the star never shines brighter than when I'm singing or when I hear singing. Is it that way for you too? Learn from the Magi. Be ready to worship even when faith is weak and tenuous. Follow that star, though it may be dim, though it disappears now and then, and though we may lose our way. Follow, and as you go, worship and adore in whatever way moves you. And you may find yourself abruptly, astonishingly, kneeling before the manger itself. On days that are bleak and wintry, and I have those days. On bleak and wintry days when I am troubled, when I'm lost. On days when I pine for others who seem to be as lost as I am. I am sustained by this hopeful reassurance. I'm sustained by the consoling reminder that God Himself is seeking us. That to me is the heart of the biblical story. The Bible to me, it seems, is an endless story of God's relentless pursuit of humanity. In choir, we sing this song that almost moves me to tears, maybe sometimes beyond that point. First verse is as follows. For all of the seeking, through valleys and hills, shepherds and wise men, for glory revealed, it seems like the greatest journey of all was heaven now searching for the hearts of the lost. For all of the seeking that the wise men did, for all the seeking that we do, all of the journeys we traverse, the biggest journey by far is heaven now searching, is God searching for the hearts of the lost. That's us. And then the great refrain, Gloria, our Savior found us. He found us. Gloria, O love divine, through the darkness, He won't relent. Mercy so great, we'll find a way. Gloria. That to me is the heart of the gospel. The richness of this irony that it is when we seek, when we follow the star, however haltingly and whatever stumbling manner it happens to unfold, however weak we are, it is when we seek that we ourselves are found by the one we are searching for. Isn't that a delicious irony? It is when we are seeking the manger comes to us. You recall a story of Philip going to Nathanael saying, we found them! We found Jesus! And later on, Jesus, I see him smiling, saying, no, I saw you first. I found you. Jesus does not come to those who have things all figured out and tucked away and sealed away nicely. He comes to, for example, a Samaritan woman and a thief on the cross and the one who denies him over and over again. God shows himself to those who know they're a long way from home. Those who are still in darkness. And you know, sometimes we imply that if we could just get things right, if we can just pray the right prayer, or accept just the right doctrines, or affirm the right and perfect word, somehow we'll sneak into that future glory. If that is true, I am lost. I am lost. My only hope is that if I seek honestly, God will find me. He'll find me. God finds those who seek him, and the manger appears to those who diligently, hopefully, faithfully follow the star. That's the glory of Advent. That's the ultimate expression of love divine. And that's why Advent pulls at us. That's why people come to churches, however briefly, at Christmas time. Maybe that's why people show up in droves at the museum, as they did on Friday night, singing the same old carols with tears in their eyes. Because all of us, I think, have the desperate and forlorn hope that God really did come. And even more, that he really will come to us. Even now, even this day. So this Advent, if you set out for Bethlehem, if you follow as best you can the star of wonder, maybe Bethlehem will arrive on your doorstep. Maybe Bethlehem will come to you, and maybe you'll awaken to find yourself amazingly already at manger's edge. There's nothing to offer. No myrrh, no gold, no frankincense, only yourself, which after all is probably the one thing that the one we seek really longs to have from us. The manger is timeless. It doesn't decay away, but it stands among us, ready today. So this is my closing prayer for you. May Emmanuel come to you this Christmas. And may he come not because he is more willing, but because you are more ready. Your eyes more tuned to the star. Your mind more humbly searching. And your heart more fertile for the flowering of hope. Amen.